Hey, welcome to the first edition of the Passion 07 podcast. We're so glad that you guys have joined us. We're going to be spending a couple of weeks together on the road to Atlanta. Coming up January 1st through the 4th, Passion 07 is coming here to Atlanta, Georgia. So we're excited about that and really, really excited that you guys are here listening with us. I'm here with Louis Giglio.
Hello, Eddie. It's great being with you. And man, I'm so excited. Our very first podcast.
That's it. It's your first podcast, I believe.
It is my first Passion podcast, I think. My second podcast of all time.
So stepping out into the world of podcasting today. And we're going to be doing this for the next couple of weeks leading up to kind of a prayer journey that we're walking through together, heading towards January 1st when we start the conference here in Atlanta. One of the big things that we're building up towards that we'll tell you about now and we'll kind of describe later on in the future is we're going to be doing a live webcast together on December 3rd, which we're really excited about. It's going to be a really, really cool experience to just kind of journey together through prayer and worship. And so we'll tell you more about that later as we keep going. But stay tuned with us each and every week, and we'll give you more details about that. And also, you know, we've got a big announcement coming at the end of the show. We want to tell you a little bit, you know, some things that are important for you to know, but there's
should be a big drum roll right here. Yeah. It's not like the big announcement, so I don't want everybody to kind of think there's the big announcement coming at the end episode, but there is some big news coming at the end of the deal today. We're going to talk a little bit on each of these podcasts just about some logistics things, like you're on your way to Atlanta, things that you need to know about how Passion works and stuff that we really feel like will help you in your journey. We want to prepare people. That's one of the reasons we're doing this. Yeah. It's not just an event, Passion, that you show up for, but we want to meet God and we want to see His kingdom come and we want to see the world change because of these days that we spend. And so we want to get our hearts ready for that. And we're going to do that as we journey together on these podcasts. And with some of the information that's important at the end of the deal, we're going to share a little bit of news about Passion's future, mm-hmm. which everybody's going to want to stick around for.
Yeah, so make sure that you hang out until the end of this podcast and just get all that information. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking to some different people that are really important in the life of Passion 07, people that you'll see up on stage. Like, for instance, next week, Louis, you had a chance to talk with John Piper and kind of ask him some cool questions.
Yeah, he's going to be with us next week.
So, you know, every week, just stay tuned because Louis's going to be, you know, interviewing some of those people and just asking them some questions that, you know, you might like to hear the answers to. And so now, you know, if we want to start off right off the bat on the right foot, I mean, I can't think of a better way to start than to talk to you and, you know, ask some questions to you. And since, Louis, you can't interview yourself, I'm actually going to sit here and ask you some questions that you wrote, didn't you? Didn't you write these questions?
Yeah. In the spirit of full disclosure, which Eddie and I really believe in, you know, I want to just share the heart of Passion, but I don't want to just get on here and talk, you know, nonstop about it and bore everybody to death. And so I'm thinking, Eddie, I want you to interview me. And so he's like, well, what do you want me to ask you? And I'm like, well, here are the questions. Ask me these questions. And so Eddie's going to ask me now the questions that I've asked Eddie to ask me.
Yeah.
And so why, you say, not because Eddie couldn't come up with great questions, but because there are things that are really, really important to the heart of Passion and really important to our vision that I just want people to know about. And so these questions will help us get around the stuff that's really, I think, the most important to us here in the Passion House and the things that we want to communicate most to the people in the world.
So, Louis, welcome to your podcast.
Thank you, Eddie. It's just a joy to be here with you today.
Well, one of the first things, you know, a lot of people hear about Passion from getting a CD, from hearing worship music, or from an event that they've been to, somebody brought them along. But, you know, what do you think is the core of what Passion is really all about? Because I know those things are there, but how do they play in, and what really lies at the core of Passion?
Yeah, it's been interesting over our journey. You know, we started out with a real simple focus, and that focus is to see the spiritual climate change on the college and university campuses of America, and even now in these later years of our journey of the world. And, you know, pure and simple, that's what Passion's all about. And it's been beautiful to watch. We had no idea, honestly, when we started this journey that we were going to be making Passion records. Passion 97, we didn't record a thing there. You know, the only memory of our worship through music at Passion 97 was for the people that were there. And it was incredible. The next year along the way, we decided out of friendship with some guys we'd met along the way to record it. And there's a guy in Nashville that had a vision for people around the world hearing the music, and we thought, okay, just, you know, stay out of the way, and we'll be happy to put everything down on tape. And lo and behold, this album comes out from Passion 98, and it just keeps on plugging away. And before you know it, the music's kind of, you know, going around the world, and we've made a whole bunch of Passion albums now, and people are like, oh, Passion, yeah, I've got the CDs. I know the music, Passion Worship, whatever. And we're thrilled about that, because worship music is at the core. You know, it's really symbiotically linked up with what Passion's all about. But our heart and our focus is really the dilemma of the university campus, especially the spiritual dilemma of the campus. And my background is college ministry, and for 10 years, Shelley and I planted and led a campus ministry at Baylor University, and that wasn't my plan for life. In fact, when I graduated from seminary a few months before that, I had no clue what God wanted me to do. But doors opened, and the right relationships clicked, and I ended up doing grad school at Baylor. We started this ministry with a handful of college students, and I absolutely fell in love with the opportunity to stand at this vital crossroads of life, where students really and truly, it sounds dramatic, but it's true, where students are charting the course for their future. And to be in that moment saying, man, there is life in God. There is freedom in Christ. There is a whole new way of doing life from the Creator, and to be able to share that with students. And so that was our heartbeat. And for 10 years, we were there day to day with college students. And the one thing that really pushed us over the edge, I guess it's the tipping point, if you will, for how the whole Passion thing came to be, was just coming to this realization. And I've talked about these numbers a lot. You've heard me talk about them a lot. Probably anybody who's been around me has, and everybody kind of zones out at this point. But it absolutely floored me. The first time in 1995, when I got face-to-face with the CIRP survey, a quarter of a million college students, incoming freshmen and transfer students every year take this survey at over 400 two- and four-year schools across the nation, Ivy League down to the local community college. Only two spiritual questions. One of them is, do you consider yourself to be a born-again Christian? In that year, and I hate to say it, but every year since then, somewhere in the neighborhood of 80% of the quarter million college students coming into the campus have said no. No questions about it. Unequivocally, no. I do not consider myself to be a born-again Christian. And we know that there are somewhere between 16.6 and 16.9 million college students in America today. And if that number carries over, that's 80% of 16.6 million university students who are walking across the campus again today, going to sleep again tonight, hanging out with their friends tonight, and they don't have a clue how precious their lives are to God and all the stuff that is in His heart for them. And we want to see that change. We want to see that change student by student, but we want to see it ripple into an impact on the campus as a whole. That's what Passion's about. That's our core. That's what we started. And that's still what's moving us, even as we head toward Passion 07.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious that you just have a huge passion for college students and for university students. And, you know, it's said all over the place that Passion's for 18 to 25, you know, people in that age range. So we get a lot of flack around here at the Passion House for, you know, lots of different things like that. Like, why is it just for college students? A lot of people are saying maybe it's too narrow. But, I mean, what do you think about that? What's your heartbeat in that and the reason why it's so focused and, you know, so slimmed down?
Yeah, we do. We get, I think it's good-natured flack, you know. It's an email that comes from an irate sophomore in high school that says, hey, I'm 16 and I love God and I have a passion for God. Why can't I come to your gathering, you know? What's wrong with us? Do you not like high school students? Or it's somebody who's graduated their late 20s or maybe they just got married and they're like, why can't we come? It's not anything about who we do or don't like. We love people. I love all kinds of people. I speak to all ages of people every year. I spend a tremendous amount of time with high school and middle school kids every summer speaking to them. Can't get enough of it. I love it. But the university moment is unique. And Passion is sold on that idea. That the moment, that window that we call college and university is a very unique window in life. And the campus has its own rhythm. And even, you know, there are a lot of people that say, we're, you know, our ministry's for college and career, our ministry's for young 20s. And I'm like, that's awesome. In some cases, that's really the only thing you can do. But I still believe there's a language that's spoken. There's a cultural understanding on the campus that's unique to that little window of time. And it's critical that we learn how to speak that language and that we invest in that cultural dynamic. And that's what passion's all about. And, you know, it's not that we're not for high school kids or middle school kids. It's not that we're not for anybody else. It's just that we are for college students. And, you know, you think about it. There are so many events, conferences, camps for teenagers, and so few events that are specifically targeted at the university student. And I think that's the main thing. We just want college students to know we are for you. We believe in this moment in time. We believe God has incredible things for your life, and we want to serve you well in this moment.
Lou, you just mentioned that there's a ton of different conferences. There's so many different events out there that people can choose from. And, you know, what in your mind makes passion different than those things? What's the thing that sets it apart and, you know, is the reason that it exists?
Well, I hope one of the things that sets it apart is clarity and focus. We've been doing the same thing for 11 years, and that's either because we're remedial or we can't come up with any good ideas. And I think we can come up with good ideas, and I guess in some ways I am remedial. But it's more about having a very defined purpose. And I talked earlier about the fact that, you know, the heart of passion is to see spiritual awakening come to the university context, to the university culture. But on a personal level, what we want to see happen is we want to see people link in to Jesus Christ. We want to see people taste of Christ and come to discover in their lives that He is enough for them. Because the result of that is they begin to broadcast Christ. And everyone who's been anywhere near passion knows that we're still talking about Isaiah 26:8, and we're going to be talking about it as long as we exist. The end of that verse says, "For your name and your renown are the desire of our souls." And why we've embraced that and why that verse is important to us is that we've come to believe, one, that God is God-centered, that God loves God, and that God, the best thing God can do for me is to exalt Himself. And so when we say your name and renown are the desire of our souls, I think you could just as easily say that God's name and His renown is the desire of God's soul as well. So we're just linking into what's important to God when we say that. But we're trying to encourage the student to change the focus. You know, most people on this planet, the focus of their lives is to make their name great, or make the name of a company great, or the name of a church great, or the name of an organization great, or the name of some experience or pleasure great. We're great at making names great. But at the end of the day, you have to ask the question, is there a name that's greater than every other name? Is there a name that deserves more acclaim, more fame, more recognition, more renown than any other name on this planet? And if the answer is yes, then the wise person is going to leverage their life for that fame and for that name. And obviously for us, we think that person is Jesus Christ. He is before all things. And in everything, He should have the supremacy. And so the thing that makes passion unique is that message. Taste and see that Christ is everything you need for life. For when you discover that, you're going to begin to broadcast to the world Christ is enough for life. And that's how He receives glory. You know, talking about giving God glory and living for God's glory, that's all spiritual talk. That's just a bunch of theological talk until somebody has tasted and somebody has seen that He really is enough for their entire life. And then they begin to broadcast the goodness and the greatness of Jesus Christ to the world. And that's when He's glorified. And so this year again, that's our theme. Live for the glory of God. How do you do that? Taste and see that Christ is enough.
Yeah, one of the ways that that message has been broadcast out to the world has been through the music of Passion that we talked about earlier. And, you know, specifically through some of these guys that are part of the Six Steps Records family. And, I mean, how does that fit into the Passion vision? I think a lot of people out there, you know, don't completely understand, you know, how do these things work together? How does the music help the vision of Passion? And you said they're symbiotically linked, but how does that feel in your heart? How do you see that working together?
Well, it is a family. I mean, I think that's the clearest way to say it. And to be honest, I don't know that there's simple ways to explain it. And that's why a lot of people are like, now, what is this? Is it passion, or is it six steps, or is it about the label, or is it about the events? And really, at the bottom of it, it's just about friendship and partnership. And I think if we can kind of keep that the heart of what we're doing in life and ministry in the church and our businesses and whatever people are about that are listening to this today, that we just can keep that at the core. And that's what is really at the heart of us. We believe in encountering God, and we definitely believe one of the ways you encounter God is through worship. And when I say worship, I mean the normal definition that people think: singing songs, entering into God's presence, telling him how great he is, lifting him up, exalting him, wrapping music around that expression. And obviously worship's a lot bigger than that, but in that dimension we really believe in that, and it's going to be a part of our encountering God. And so as we've come along our journey, certain people have linked into the journey who are really good at leading people to interact and encounter God through music. And so we just banded together at some point. You know, I remember there was a day in my mind from a family standpoint that it looked like a lot of visibility had come to our team, and some label's going to grab this guy and a different label's going to grab that person. And I just thought, you know, that feels like that potentially could really fragment our family and our vision together, this journey we're on together. So let's see if we can't start our own label. And we had enough equity with our friends up at EMI, and they went for it. And so we launched this little label. We call it Six Steps Records, and it's just a little family of friends, really, who are for each other and linked into the journey of passion, in the sense that we're all under one roof here. Six Steps Records is down the front part of the Passion House, and that's where they're running things from. And we're up here on the second floor, and it's all linked into this one common vision of fueling these guys' opportunity to spread their music to the whole world, and yet coming together in these moments to join our hearts around this common cause of seeing the vision of awakening come to the campuses of America.
That's cool. You know, I mean, looking back, it's been 11 years now on this journey, and going back from, you know, the preparation stages to Passion 97, and now coming all the way up to Passion 07, what do you think, you know, what's the biggest challenge that you think you guys have faced in the past 11 years? I'm sure there's been a ton of different things that have come your way, but what's the one that jumps out at you the most?
You know, I don't know if I could really say what the biggest challenge is. I think one of the challenges for us, we're 11 years into the Passion journey, is that we're still here. And we want to be, you know, a spark all along. And I know that word's kind of overused a little bit, but we did. We want to be catalytic in nature. In other words, we're not trying to build a monument to Passion. We really never even envisioned ourselves being here 11 years later. We weren't thinking, let's build a big conference ministry, and let's get people to come to these events, and let's build a label, and let's do all this stuff. We thought, let's just foster the conversation and ask the question, can God do something new on the campuses of this nation? Habakkuk says, Lord, we've heard of your fame, and we stand in awe of your deeds. Do it again in our day. Do it afresh in our time. And in your wrath, remember mercy. And so we wanted to just pose that question. Can God do it? Can God do it again? And can it happen in this day and in this time? And then we thought, maybe that'll come true. And a spiritual, you know, eruption will happen somewhere, and the kingdom will start coming, and it'll spill over from one campus to another. And in that moment, Passion could just disappear. We could just go away. We served our little teeny tiny role in the process of what God is doing among college students, and then we could just go away. And so a big challenge for us is we're still here. It's 11 years later. There's a whole new generation of college students, and the message still needs to be communicated to them.
So Passion, you know, even now, is still looking for that tipping point, that area that, you know, things just kind of fall over the edge.
Absolutely. And people may have heard this before, but, you know, there was a point in our journey where we thought there was a period at the end of the Passion sentence. After our one-day gathering in Memphis in 2000, just an amazing, holy day that any of us who were a part of will never get over. But at the end of the day, we felt like, no, there's a semicolon there, and we took a deep breath, and then God said, I want you to keep going. But for us to keep going, it means that we're looking for that that breakthrough moment. You know, we've been around the nation this fall a lot, and that's another one of our challenges, honestly, speaking into that, is that we don't want to just become people that do events, but we want to serve students well, and we want to serve the people who are leading college students well. And so we've been on the campus of UNLV, our staff has this year, just investigating, looking around, seeing what's God doing, how can we encourage them, and what can we learn from them. We've been at Ohio State, the Ohio State University, and just seeing what God's doing there. And then you and I and part of our staff were up in Philly and had a chance to be on the campus of Temple and the University of Pennsylvania, Drexel, and St. Joseph's University, Villanova University, and then we had access here at the Passion House a few weeks ago, and we had 20 campus leaders from Connecticut to Seattle, from L.A. to Boston, and they brought student leaders, and they were here in the house. We were just learning about what God's doing in their lives and what's going on with them, and we talked about a couple of interesting things. We talked about the fact that there's presence on just about every college and university campus in America. There may not be a Campus Crusade or an InterVarsity or an FCA or a Baptist Collegiate Ministry or the Wesley Foundation or whatever, but there's presence there. I promise you, somebody is on that campus believing God for that campus, praying for that campus, hoping for that campus. And in a lot of places, you can look around and point to, and there's traction, which means, you know, there's some momentum going on, and there's a gathering of believers that are banding together, and you can really visibly see the kingdom in the campus. But what we're looking for is that point of epidemic eruption where what we've seen happen in the Bible happens again. And I know that sounds like the right spiritual thing to say, but if it's true that God is the God of the Bible, and if it's true that we've seen the gospel sweep with just overwhelming force through communities and cities and through cultures, then why wouldn't we want to see that happen again? And that's what Passion's looking for. We're not just looking to get 20,000 college students to Atlanta and go, man, wasn't that great? We're looking at those 20,000 students and going, what could happen? What should happen? What can happen if those students will really trust God and believe Him for something great on the campuses where they live?
Back in the first days of Passion, you guys wanted to make sure that there was a real guiding vision for the years ahead, and so you established this thing called the 268 Declaration, which I'm sure a lot of people listening have heard about, but others haven't. And you know, there's one statement in the middle of that 268 Declaration that talks about the local church, and I think, you know, there's probably a lot of students out there that see that and just wonder, what's the deal with that? Why is the local church something that's important to Passion? And you know, in a lot of ways, they might feel like the church has kind of left them behind and forgotten about the fact that there are 16 million college students in America. I mean, do you think that surprises a lot of pastors to hear that when you tell them that, when you see the reaction on their face to that? I mean, what's the connection there? How do students really lock into the local church, and why is that important to you and to Passion?
Well, it's been interesting for me, and even when I was at Baylor in collegiate ministry, I was doing paralocal church ministry, and I think God calls us to sometimes step outside of the stream so that we can influence the stream, and sometimes to work from within the stream to influence that same stream. And at Baylor, doing ministry for 10 years there, I saw pastors in town who absolutely were leveraging every ounce of their energy to reach this campus of 10 or 12,000 students. It's sitting on their doorstep, literally. I saw other pastors who it was as if the campus didn't even exist. And I understand why. And some of them would tell me why. Well, Louis, you know, we would like to reach college students, but, you know, they're flaky. They show up for a few months and then they migrate off to the next church. And you would hear pastors saying they don't tithe. You know, they're these poor, cheap college students and they don't kick anything into the budget of the church. And so why do we want to invest a lot of energy in them? And they're going to be here for a few years, and then they're going to move back home or move off to Toledo or wherever they're going. And so we're going to stick with the moms and dads that have the jobs and can pay for the church to go forward and who are going to be here a year from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And I understand that, I think, to some degree. But to the greater degree, I believe that the opportunity to reach college students and change the world is the greatest opportunity the church has. And if there's a pastor or a church staff person listening to this anywhere in a college or university town, I just want to encourage you to think all over again about the potential of reaching college students, and that's essential to us. We are Passion. We are not the church. You can't join Passion. You can't come next Sunday and worship with Passion. We're a spark. We're catalytic. We're a piece of the equation, just a little link in what God is doing. But the plan is the church. The church is God's plan to reach and change the world. And so, obviously, for us, we've got to love the church. We've got to be a part of the local church. We've got to serve the local church. We've got to encourage students to not give up on the local church and inspire them to know that they're the link. Psalm 145 says, "One generation will praise your name to another and will declare your mighty works." And I want college students to see that. I think they've been disillusioned. I would agree with that. And I think for good reason. I mean, let's face it, the local church is imperfect. It's crazily imperfect. The leaders of the local church are imperfect. And so I think I hear the college student. I hear their voice. I hear what they're saying. The church is inauthentic. The church isn't real. The church has let us down. The church hasn't been what we've needed for it to be. The church hasn't heard us. The church hasn't responded to us. And I say, I hear all that. And I think to some degree, it's all true. But at some point, we've got to lay down that thought that the church has let me down. And we've got to ask a question. And that is, how can I pick the church up and carry it forward into the future? There is no other plan but the church of Jesus Christ. And he loves this church, and he is the head of it, and he is not imperfect. He is absolutely radiant in beauty. And so we want to lift up Jesus. And when you lift up Jesus, you have to, at the same time, lift up his church, because he is, in fact, the head of the body. And so we can't fool ourselves and say, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. I love Jesus, but I'm done with the church. I love Jesus, but man, I am finished and have cashed in with the church. If you love Jesus, then by the nature of that, you are going to fall in love with this church. And I think we've just got to figure out how can we in this moment become sort of a hinge on which the church swings to move from what has been to what can be, and to know that college students are at that place in life where they need to step up and say, I want to serve, I want to commit, I want to invest, I want to be a part of the solution and not just someone who's always mirroring the failures of the past.
So, Louis, thanks again for being a part of your own podcast and for answering so faithfully the questions that you yourself wrote.
Thank you so much, Eddie. It's been a real treat to be with you today, and great questions, by the way.
Cool. The next thing that, you know, we're going to talk about is a little piece of something that you said you wanted to throw out, and I think it's really going to be cool. Why don't you just share a little bit about this new project that's coming out and just the reason why you wanted to share it?
Yeah, you asked me earlier about Six Steps Records, and I haven't actually cleared this with the head of the label yet, which is Shelley. I'm technically on paper the head of the label, but she really is the day-to-day operations genius behind Six Steps Records, and she manages all the guys, and so I'm just going to go with this, and I may suffer the consequences later. But some people always ask, you know, what is it with all these projects? It's always a new Chris Tomlin record or a new David Crowder record, or Passion has a new this, or Charlie Hall has a new that. It sounds like all you guys talk about is new records, and I just think it's important for people to know that we are the label. And so these records aren't like hatched out of the record factory somewhere and show up on our door, but we're actually in the process of carrying these things from vision all the way to fruition. And we've got two great new projects coming. One of them is coming from Matt Redman, and Matt hasn't had a new album for a couple of years since Face Down. And this is all new music coming from Matt. It's called Beautiful News, and we're incredibly excited about it. It comes out on the 26th of December, but I just want to play a little bit of it. Matt did a song at Thirsty last year called Shine, and just a phenomenal song, and I can't give you a lot of it, but I just want to give you a little bit of it because I think you're going to be excited about hearing this record. So this is from Matt's new record coming up. This is the first place, I think, and the only place this has probably been heard anywhere online to date. Shine is the song from the new album coming out called Beautiful News. Like a supernova's light, set your holy church on fire. Like the sun, so many days, set the light for all to see. Let your holy church arise. If I were a radio DJ, I think this is the place where I'd say, and that was Shine from the new album Beautiful News from Matt Redman. But since I'm not, I won't say that. But thank you, Matt. Great song. I love the song, and I'm so excited for people to be able to hear the whole record when it comes out. And I'm sure that's one of the songs we're going to be singing at Passion 07, so I'm looking forward to that. A couple of things we want you guys to know, and I know some of you are tuned into the podcast and you're like, you know, I'm not in the age range to come to Passion, or I'm somewhere in the country and I can't make it, or somewhere in the world and I can't make it. Don't tune out at this point. This is not just going to be, you know, stuff just for people coming, but there are a few things coming that we want all of you guys to know about, and we want you guys to pray for us. Even if you're not going to be in Atlanta, please pray for us on this journey and pray for the days that we have at Passion 07. But one of the key things people need to know today, Eddie, is that we have space at Passion 07. I've been around talking to people, and people are saying, I heard Passion sold out, or I heard y'all already maxed out, or you have this overflow thing going on, and we just want people to know that's not the case.
What's that thing you mentioned, the overflow? Explain that a little bit and how that's going to work.
Well, at Passion 07, we're going to be in two venues for the main sessions, Phillips Arena and an alternate venue, an additional venue that we're creating in the Georgia World Congress Center. It's not overflow. That's the main thing. And you can read all this in detail on the Passion 07 website. But it's not overflow. It's not people sitting and watching a screen. It's not whoever registers last has to go there for all the main sessions. It's a rotation from beginning to end that every person at Passion is going to be a part of. So everyone that comes to the conference is going to spend most of their main sessions in Phillips, a couple of their main sessions in the additional venue. The additional venue is going to be amazing. Total full production, live worship, band, whole thing. But the message will be brought over from Phillips through the fiber optic cables that are running between the buildings and into the other venue. The reason we did that was because if we just stayed with Phillips Arena, we would have had to have turned people away. Hotel bookings in Atlanta are telling us right now that we're going to hit capacity and probably or potentially have to turn people away. Now, the good news is that all those people who've booked a hotel room haven't yet registered for the conference. They just got their room, wanted to get that taken care of first. So there's lots of space for people to register for the conference right now. And because of the additional venue, there's going to be lots of room, a lot more room than we had in Nashville last year. So if you're thinking about coming, you're thinking about registering, and you've heard that it's full, or you've heard that if you register now, you're going to have to go to some overflow, it's not full. There's space for you now. There's space for your group now. And there isn't anything called overflow. It's a second live venue, and it's going to be, I think, a great experience for us in both venues.
Well, and, you know, we need to be focusing in on, there's a date coming up, too, that they're going to want to make sure that, you know, if they do just have a hotel room, they haven't registered, December 1st is the date that they kind of want to lock in.
Absolutely. December 1st is the next price increase, and so obviously we're going to have a flurry of activity around that date, as it always happens. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 or 5,000 people registered on the day or day before our last price increase. And so we're going to have a lot of buzz going on December 1st. But if you don't know about Passion, you're just hearing about it, you need to get moving quick. Because I think you save like $30 if you register before December 1st. Yeah. And so make sure that you don't let that slip by.
And so, you know, we mentioned at the very, very top of things that there was a big, you know, something, some news about the future of Passion, which is pretty big news.
A big announcement, I think is what you call it.
A big announcement.
Got a big announcement coming.
Yeah. So what is that? I mean, it sounds big. What's the deal with it?
This is a letdown. You know, I hate this because the big announcement is supposed to be, you know, everyone who registers by November 20th is going to receive a brand new Hummer. You know, I mean, that's a big announcement, you know, or I don't know. Our announcement is a little different than that, and it's about the future of Passion and the reason in the spirit of full disclosure, which right. we talked about earlier, which is really important to us, that people just have the information. I just wanted people to know that if they want to be a part of the four-day Passion experience, they need to be a part of Passion 07. We did three of these in 97, 98, 99. We've been back in the four-day winter conference window in 05, 06, and now 07, but there's not going to be a Passion 08. And I don't know if there are any sides that just went around, you know, America or around the world. But you say, what do you mean there's not going to be a Passion 08? How is that possible? Well, for us, one of the major challenges, and Eddie, you asked me, or I asked me through you earlier about some of the challenges that we face at Passion. And one of them is the challenge of staying fresh and continue to listen to the voice of the Spirit. The scripture says that the wind blows where it will, and no one knows where it comes from or where it's going. But such is the wind of the Spirit. And that's, we just want to be in the wind of God. And so we're listening all the time, and we want to be flexible. We don't want to just say, you know what, we had 16,000 people or 18,000 people or 20,000 people or whatever. If we keep this thing going, man, a couple of years, we'll have 40,000 people there. It's like, so? You know, that's not the most important thing to us. We just want to be sensitive to being where God wants us to be. And Passion has a plan for the next 18 to 24 months. And you know what it is. Yeah. And we're fired up about it. We have an incredible calling from God on our lives about where we think we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. And because of that plan, we're not going to be able to do a four-day conference next year. And so there's not going to be a Passion 08 back in Atlanta or anywhere else. There's not going to be a four-day Passion conference. And with that, I just mean, you know, time to soak it in, community groups, family groups, breakouts, the whole deal, the whole experience. It's so important in this four-day window. That's not going to happen for a while. So if there's a student out there, I'm talking to you now, and you're headed home for Thanksgiving, and the conversation over the table is going to be, you know, the family's going to Bermuda. And you're like, Bermuda, that's what I'm talking about. I've been up here in, you know, Michigan for the last couple of weeks at school. We're going to Bermuda. I'm fired up. And then you thought, oh my goodness, it's going to be over Passion 07. And now you're conflicted. Is it Bermuda with the family, sunshine and sand, or is it Passion 07? And your thought was, I'm going with Bermuda, and I'm going to go to Passion next year. And so we're just wanting you to know there's not a next year. And if you want to be a part of this four-day experience, there is Passion next year. Please hear me clearly with that. But there's not a four-day conference coming in our future for quite some time. And so if you're on the fence and you're thinking about coming this year or thinking about coming next year, you want to come this year. And you want to make sure you do everything you can to be a part of this moment. This is going to be a historic moment, I think, in the life of Passion.
Yeah,
it's going to be a springboard for us. And I want as many people to be a part of that moment as can.
And if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time that you've said this outside of, you know, like our close friends and leaders and stuff. I mean, this is the first time anybody's heard this.
It's a big announcement. It is a huge announcement. It is not even on our website. No one knows this yet. It's the first time. But what we wanted to do is we wanted to let the people on the podcast hear it first.
Yep.
And we wanted people to know before the December 1st thing comes and before Passion 07 happens, and then we say at Passion 07, oh, by the way, there's not going to be a Passion 08. And somebody's like, you know, that would have been really helpful for you to tell me that 6 weeks ago, because I would have made sure I was at Passion 07. And so we just wanted to let people know today. We're going to put it on our website soon. Information is going to start to trickle out to people. But it was the big announcement, and everyone heard it here first.
And so, you know, if you got friends out there that are thinking about it, you know, forward this on, make sure they hear the podcast and know what's coming up next down the pipe. So thanks so much for being part of the Passion 07 podcast. We're going to be here every week. Just come right back every Wednesday. You'll hear some more great interviews. Next week is John Piper.
Yeah, and that's going to be great. And I just have to tell you, you do not want to miss this.
Yeah.
There's going to be a little wrinkle in the John Piper interview that you are not going to believe, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. We talked to him, what was it, like
a couple days ago,
this week?
Yeah.
And man, it's pretty awesome. So tune in again next Wednesday. You'll hear all that interview. And if you have any questions, if you want to find out more information, you can always find out more information on 268generation.com. If you need to link through to the podcast, there's an icon there that you can click on, or you can visit us on 268blog.com and let us know what you're thinking. We'll see you next week.